Welcome to Batflips and Nerds Season Preview Podcast, the baseball podcast with a British twist. You can find us on @Batflips_Nerds on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/Batflips and Nerds, and our brand new website, batflipsandnerds.com. I'm your host, Tom Pringle. As you may have heard in previous episodes, there are plenty of other podcasts out there already producing their season previews. They'll probably be in-depth and have more analysis. And here at Batflips and Nerds, we try to decide to do something a little different, inviting British fans of teams to come onto the podcast and talk all about their team. We've got no clever order for this. It's literally who's available at the time. So without further delay, joining me this week to talk all about the Toronto Blue Jays is Mike Shipley. How are you, Mike?
Good, thanks, you.
Yeah, I'm good. I was looking forward to watching Chris Sale, but unfortunately no Ramirez has come on the mound. So I'm still enjoying spring training. How are you finding it?
A bit of a slow start, really, but, you know, not too concerned. A lot of young players, minor league players playing at the moment. I'm sure we'll get into the swing of things soon.
Are you a spring training fan, or you just get bored of it?
Yeah, it gets a little bit frustrating, waiting for opening day, but, you know, I will watch it and pay attention.
Yeah, I think as long as you accept it for what it is, you know, pitchers are going to try different setups, hitters are going to try different setups, maybe get themselves into the swing later on in spring training. I think if you just accept it for what it is, it's fine.
Yeah, and sometimes it's interesting to see the minor league players that you obviously don't generally see during the regular season as well.
Yeah, that's true. And of course, we got to see the fantastic Tim Tebow over last week. And did you manage to catch up with the Tim Tebow highlights? I'm sure they were just, you know, on repeat. Yeah.
Is he mirroring his NFL career?
Well, I'm not sure, because he ended up with a playoff win in the NFL. NFL career, so I'm not sure. I think he generally looked like an amateur going up against a professional. That's what it seemed to me, watching his first game on Wednesday. Yeah, it didn't look that great. Cool. So let's talk all about your Toronto Blue Jays then. So what made you become a Blue Jays fan?
Well, my wife is from Toronto. Back in the summer of 2011, we went on our first family holiday to Toronto. Being a bit of a sports geek, I was looking for some sport to watch on TV, but at that time of year, there's generally not much going on. So I just put on TV and baseball was on. Basically, I was forced to watch that for 3 weeks, and that's how I got into the Blue Jays and baseball in general.
Okay, so were you? Did you have any sort of preconceptions of baseball? Were you a cricket fan and went, "Oh, this looks like a normal"?
Yeah, I'd followed cricket a fair bit, you know, since I was a kid, and I'd actually been to a couple of MLB games previously, but never fully understood the rules and never really had a team to follow. So I just never really got into it. I mean, I've been into NBA and NFL, you know, since I was a kid. So I wasn't averse to American sports. So I just sort of gave me a chance to sort of give it a proper go and give me a team to support. And that's kind of how I got into it.
Yeah. So you said you watched a couple of games before going to watch the Blue Jays. Was that with your wife or?
No, that's before we met. When I was traveling. Okay. So I caught one Yankees game, boo. And one Mariners game over in Seattle as well. It didn't help that Randy Johnson was pitching for Seattle and there wasn't much batting going on.
Yeah.
Didn't make the for the best viewing for the sort of average spectator, shall we say.
Yeah, so has your opinion of a dominant pitcher changed now, or are you still, I want to see home runs?
Yeah, now I understand it more. I do find it more interesting. I think while she's there, I think it's harder to appreciate the pitching. Most views you have of the field, it's hard to really, it's a bit like cricket in that way. It's hard to appreciate good bowling in cricket when you're at the actual stadium.
Yeah.
Same with baseball. It's a lot easier to appreciate it when you're watching from TV and you can see the view, you know, from behind the pitcher. Yeah, similar type of thing.
So if you had to say your ideal game, would it be a 1-0 shutout or you know, 10, 11 home run smashing session?
Got to admit, I do enjoy the 10, 11. In fact, last time we were in Toronto last season, we did see the Blue Jays come back and beat the Red Sox in the last couple of innings, 9-8, I think it might have been, or 10-9.
Yeah, I think so.
It was a lot of fun with the kids as well. So, sorry to bring that up.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I'm quite happy with comebacks at the moment. Being a Patriots fan as well, I'm delighted with anyone talking about comebacks because nothing will beat that Patriots victory. It was incredible.
Yeah. Well, I'm a Redskins fan, so it's going to be a hell of a comeback from the early 90s.
Just digressing slightly, talk Redskins to me. What the hell is happening with that franchise?
It's a bit of a mess. It sounds like there was a bit of a power struggle or a bit of jealousy in the front office, and McLuhan, who actually used to play for the Blue Jays at one point, has lost that battle, and Bruce Allen is he's Schneider's man, and it looks like McLuhan's gone.
But isn't there talk of Mike Mayock coming in, who's an NFL draft analyst?
There's been talk of various options, nothing really concrete. I mean, I saw a few names sort of from within the organization, including Doug Williams, ex-quarterback. But I don't think there's anything concrete from what I've seen.
No, it all looks a bit messy over there. And it's a shame, really, because they seem to be getting themselves on a bit of an even keel with Kirk Cousins leading the way, but...
Yeah, with the draft coming up and the combine going on, it's not ideal.
Anyway, let's get back to baseball. Yeah. So, how do you consume your baseball then? Do you? I'm guessing you've got MLB TV.
Yeah, we do. Because the family's into baseball, we generally watch it on our smart TV. For the early games at the weekend, and then in the late games, I'll generally catch on my phone or on a laptop.
Yeah, For those that don't know you or don't have the benefit of the chat that I've been having with you guys over the last week, just explain your family setup, because I've seen a picture of them yesterday, which was sent to me, and I couldn't believe the fact that all of you are in Blue Jays gear.
Yeah. So my youngest, Ethan, is three. He is crazy about Blue Jays apparel, so he will insist on wearing a Blue Jays jersey every single day. It doesn't matter the kind of stains that are on it, but he will go crazy if he can't wear his Blue Jays jersey. I'm pretty sure he doesn't understand the game or much about what's going on, but he loves his Blue Jays stuff. And there's also Lauren and Louis, who are 8 and 10. I think Lauren's a little bit of a sports geek, a bit like me, a bit of a baseball geek. So every morning she's up with on the iPad looking at the stats from various games and seeing what's going on. It's a lot of fun. It's good to be able to share it with, the entire family. It's good.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I mean, I try and talk to my wife about the Red Sox performance from the night before, and she'll just look at me and I'll just see her eyes glaze over, and it's like, I'm wasting my time here. And I mentioned in the little group chat that we had that I'm trying to wean my daughter off Thomas the Tank now to try and get her back into baseball, and she's getting there slowly. We were talking about Hanley Ramirez, and I had to make a bit of a joke about his hair, saying he's got funny hair, and she liked that. So whenever she sees Hanley Ramirez now, she's quite excited about it.
So she's similar age to Ethan then?
Yeah, so she's two and a half, she is. So, she doesn't really understand the game, but I'm going to spend this year really hammering it home. Because last year, she liked sitting there with me while we were watching it, but obviously she didn't have a clue what was going on.
Yeah.
But then the off-season, she'd just forgotten all about it, which is a bit of a shame. Cool then. So your Blue Jays then, what happened last season?
Well, most people know that they reached the ALCS via the wild card and lost to Cleveland team that was missing two key starting pitchers in Carrasco and Salazar, which was a disappointment. I mean, it was a nail-biting season, really, all in all. The big surprise was that the pitching outperformed the bats. Bitter disappointment for the second year running, unfortunately, in October.
I seem to remember at the start of the season, folk like Joey Batts were really, really struggling when the season first began. And there's a lot of questions about whether he was going to stay and whether they're going to sign him on. You mentioned the fact that the bats didn't really perform. In terms of contact, they didn't, but with power, they most certainly did.
Yeah, they are a slugging team. That is just in the makeup of the players that they've got. But it seems that the bats, it's in the nature of sort of slugging bats, I suppose, that they go through periods of hot and cold. And it just seemed that different players got on hot and cold at the wrong times, and it just never really gelled. Whereas in 2015, everyone got hot, sort of particularly in the second half of the season, and it sort of propelled them. But the difference was, I suppose, last season that the pitching really, saved the team.
Yeah, we were talking before on the fact that in the 30-team Dynasty League that I'm in, which is just ridiculously deep, I've got Marcus Stroman, and there were times during the season I was really contemplating trading him because I was struggling with his performances. Do you think that was just an off year and he's going to have a rebound? Because in 2015 he was tabbed ahead of David Price in the playoffs.
Yeah, he was really struggling sort of May, June time. He says that he feels a lot stronger this year. He was coming off an injury from the previous year. He did well when he came back in 2015, but says he feels a lot stronger now. He's one of those ground ball pitchers, and I think the BABIP for ground ball pitchers can obviously have such a big effect that sometimes it goes for you, sometimes it doesn't. And in May and June, you know, the bats were just finding the gaps in the field and nothing went right for him. I think the other thing was that he was trying to pitch too many different pitches instead of concentrating on, you know, 2, 3, 4 of his best pitches.
Another big name starter for you guys, which there was a lot of debate over the season, was Aaron Sanchez. There was plenty of talk of, you know, when is he going to move into the bullpen? Not if, it was when. And as the season went on, he just didn't make that move. You think that's going to affect him going forward?
Well, thankfully, he didn't pick up an injury last year, which was obviously the big fear with, you know, stretching him out over an entire season. And I think he got over, in the end, he got over 200, got close to 200 innings. I don't think that is a fear anymore. I mean, obviously an injury can, you know, come about at any time. But I think they're just going to let him go this season. Because what else can you do? I mean, there's no point second guessing an injury at this point.
No, exactly. I think it was more the innings count for him, wasn't it? They didn't want to push him too hard in his first full season. But moving on then to this season, I'd like to make a few points before we come on to the show. And I try and read up on the previous season and read up what the team's done in the off season. And I've only got a few points, actually, for the Blue Jays. And it just simply says, Encarnacion gone, Joey Bats re-signed. And then my next point says, what have the Blue Jays done?
Okay. I was looking at this. I was thinking, compare the team now to the team at the beginning of last season. We've got Morales instead of Edwin Encarnacion. Now, I think he's going to get closer in production to Edwin than a lot of people think. He spent his whole career at pitching friendly ballparks, and he'll find life a little bit easier in the AL East, I think. We've got Pierce instead of Saunders, and I think that might be a slight upgrade. We've got Liriano starting full season ahead of Dickey. I think that's an upgrade.
True.
And in turn, we've got Salter Malakia instead of Toley, which is a definite upgrade.
Yeah.
And then in the bullpen, we've got Howell and Smith as opposed to Cecil and Storen. So hopefully they can, you know, at least be as good as they were. So, you know, I'm kind of thinking, you know, we're at least as good as we were last season, well, the beginning of last season.
So if you were going to pin your flag to the mast, what would you say your record's going to be then for this year?
I think it's going to be similar to last year, looking in the hunt for the wild card, you know.
Yeah.
Between 85 and 90 game wins.
Okay. So let's have a look. So Pakota at the moment has you pegged at 81 and 81, which is sitting behind the Rays. And it also has your pitching as your real lacking. They're not high on your pitching for next year, essentially. Everyone's sort of four plus on the ERA. They're not that impressed with it.
Yeah, I think obviously people are expecting regression. Pitchers like a Hap overachieved last year.
Mm.
You know, I mean, nobody was expecting Hap to do as well as he did last year, but you know, I don't see any logical reason to suggest that they couldn't do as well. But I think the problem is there isn't much of an upside. So obviously people will tend to predict regression.
Yeah. I've got to agree that Liriano is definitely an upgrade on R.A. Dickey. I'm not so sure about Saltalamacchia being an upgrade against anybody. Maybe a traffic cone. He's better than a traffic cone. I'll give him that.
Did you see Josh Hawley?
To be honest, no. I can't say I did.
Well, yeah, exactly. Literally, no. There's just no bat there at all. I mean, he was there to catch Dickey and the knuckleball, basically. And didn't offer a single thing with a bat. So, yeah, it's not saying much that he's an upgrade, but he definitely is. You know, and hopefully he can, you know, find his bat again and, you know, slug a few home runs.
Well, he was a bit of a hero in 2013 for us, but I think those days might be long behind him, especially after watching him at, where did he go then? Detroit. Miami. Yeah. Where else did he go? It was somewhere else he went as well. Yeah. It was nice to see his name dotted around.
Yeah, I mean, he had a good sort of period at the start of last season, I think, at some point, but then just totally fell away.
Okay, then. So apart from Saltalamacchia, who's an outside player for you that isn't being recognised for their talents?
I'm kind of thinking of a couple of players who, although they are appreciated in Toronto, might be overlooked by the rest of the league. Firstly, Kevin Pillar.
Yeah.
I think it's a travesty that he loses out to Kevin Kiermaier for the Golden Glove every year. He's just incredible in center field. You know, bat is average, but what he does in the outfield is just incredible.
Mm.
The second player I was thinking of was Roberto Osuna. Who's, you know, a totally unflappable closer at the ripe age of 22. I don't know what the take is on these players outside of Toronto, really, but I get the impression that they're not really on the radars of many people.
Yeah, which I think sometimes, I mean, clearly the Red Sox are a bigger market team than the Blue Jays, so they're going to have more scrutiny on them, especially when it comes to the position of closer and things like that. But I kind of think if I ever look at the Padres, I just think if there's any unsung heroes on that team, I'm quite happy about that, because that means they're going to get left alone and no one's going to bother them. No one's going to try and trade for them. So I see your point, but I kind of like, let him keep his head down. This is good for the Blue Jays. Let nobody find him.
Yeah, I mean, I just wonder what players you think of when you think of the Blue Jays. You think of Bautista.
Yeah, definitely.
You think of Stroman, big personalities, and I think perhaps, you know, Pilar and Osuna might get overlooked, I think. But yeah, watch out for them.
I think that's pretty natural for all teams, though, isn't it? You're going to look for the big personalities.
Yeah.
Apart from those outliers like Mike Trout, who have zero personality, but because they're so good. You can't ignore them. But yeah, it's going to be the loudmouths. It's going to be the ones that are doing all the talking that you're going to notice.
Yeah.
Okay, then. So what's your one bold and wild prediction for this Blue Jays season?
Kind of following on from before, I'll say Morales to score more home runs than Edwin Encarnacion.
This season or last season?
This season.
Right, okay. So not Encarnacion's 42.
No. So
you mean just this year?
This season, yeah.
Right. So Morales more than, okay.
Yeah, so when Edwin went, I mean, obviously he's a legendary player in Toronto. You know, we have his Mother's Day jersey framed on our living room wall. You know, we love him, but I think the reaction was a little bit overblown. And I've got a good feeling about Morales, you know, being a switch hitter and, as I said before, coming from pitcher-friendly ballparks for the majority of his career.
Hmm. What was the sort of feeling about Edwin then? Was it acceptance that he was going? Because pretty much from the All-Star break onwards, it was he's off to Boston and that's that.
Yeah. I think there were some rumours which were maybe fueled by Ortiz.
Definitely. Well, he came out of the All-Star game, didn't he, saying, yeah, you know, we've had a chat and he'd be great in my position.
Yeah, it's strange how the market played out really for the for that type of player, but yeah, a lot of people, I mean, most of the fans blamed the front office, as a lot of fans tend to do. In any sport, you know, the first person to blame is always the management, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it was just, I think it was one of, you know, they made him a good offer. It was just one of those things where the market went strange and things just didn't work out. So, you know, I don't really blame either party personally, but a lot of people were angry at, you know, Rogers and the front office in Toronto.
Yeah. There's only so much money they can hand out, which is unfortunate, really. Because obviously it would have been great for him to stay there. We're not too bothered to lose him for the AL East, but say it again, sorry.
As it turns out, it was more than Cleveland were offering, so.
Say that again. So the Blue Jays are offering more than Cleveland.
So initially the Blue Jays offered $20 million a year for 4 years, plus a $20 million option for the fifth year. Obviously Edwin and his agent thought they would get more money than that and that the Blue Jays would circle back round for him.
Yeah.
As it turned out, the Blue Jays started talking to Morales and his agent and thought they got a pretty good value deal here. Just made a deal and didn't want to mess around, you know, waiting for an answer.
Okay.
So, you know, a lot of people were angry about that, but I think it was fairly prudent management, personally.
Talking about contracts and re-signing guys, so I don't know if you've seen it, the Travis Sawchick article on Fangraphs about Joe Bats.
No.
It's worth checking out. It's from the 9th of March. I've got it on my screen now. Quickly read it before we started recording. It's just quite interesting to watch, and the fact that he looks after his body, etc. It mentions about the fact that what he was looking for initially was around 6 years, $150 million, which was pretty crazy. And obviously he's had to swallow his pride a little bit and go back. Okay, then. So let's shift on to our silly questions then as we start to wrap this pod up. So thinking about the going out on a night out then. So who's going to be buying the kebab on the night out?
I'm going to plump for Jason Grilley. Relief pitcher that doesn't do anything by halves. Very emotional. I think if he went on a night out, it's going to be a full on night out. I remember seeing footage of him rocking out on stage with Pearl Jam, which always amused me. But yeah, Jason Grilley, I think he's the man.
Excellent. Okay, then. So who's going to get in a cab on the way home and claim they've lost their wallet or not got any cash?
I'm going to go for Aaron Sanchez. I mean, he only earns a mere $500,000 a year, so you know, you couldn't blame him. But you know, I've no doubt that's going to change, especially now Scott Boras is his agent.
Oh, so he'll be off to the Nationals then, seeing as Nationals.
Once he becomes eligible for free agency, I'm sure he'll earn a buck or two.
He'll make the shift. Okay, then. So who's going to avoid the night out altogether and stay in to watch the Great British Bake Off with his missus?
I'm going to go for Darwin Barney. He's seems to be the more sort of reserved studios type. He's a type of guy, although he's, you know, got limited ability with the bat, he analyzes pitches and, you know, makes the most out of what he's got.
Yeah. Okay, then. Who's going to be your Alan Partridge nutter and most likely drive barefoot to Dundee then?
Or Dunedin, perhaps. That's where the Blue Jays are spring training.
Excellent work. I like that.
I had to think hard about this one. I had one former player initially, Daniel Norris, who is now at Detroit, who famously used to live out of his van, despite the money he earned.
Well, oddly enough, on the Tigers preview, that was the exact selection.
Was it?
Yeah.
From the current players, I'm going for a new boy, actually, Matt Latos. I just get the impression he's possibly the most prone to developing a chocolate addiction.
Just stuffing all his white Toblerones.
Yeah, whether it's Toblerones, probably not, maybe Hershey's, but
it'll be Hershey's.
I just get that impression.
See, I think I would have gone for Josh Donaldson just because he's that sort of Viking nutcase and he'd just flip and go for it.
Yeah. I suppose it may be the Dundee thing that put me off, maybe Vegas.
Yeah, fair one. Yeah, if he was going to go for it. I imagine he's a bit of a Gronk character. That's the sort of level I think he's at.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know why I get that impression. Yeah. Okay, then. So whilst following your Blue Jays, have you got any Twitter accounts, blogs, beat writers that you enjoy whilst following the team?
Yeah, Steve will kill me if I don't mention the Blue Jays Fans UK Twitter.
So it's just to repeat that, because this has all been set up through Steve, Blue Jay Fans UK.
Yeah. and this that kind of sprung out of the UK Toronto Blue Jays fan page on Facebook. So it's kind of tied, really, tied together.
Have you got an address for that, or you just need to search?
It's just UK Toronto Blue Jays fan page, type out on Facebook, and it should appear. In terms of blogs and beat writers, I mean, Blue Jays are really well covered. In terms of blogs, there's the Jays Journal and Jays from the Couch. They've got really good blogs, lots of content, and a podcast as well. And the Sportsnet beat writers are always decent value. Ben Nicholson-Smith, Arden Zwelling, Shai Davidi, and Mike Wilner. Really, it's hard not to find decent content on Blue Jays. They really are well covered.
I'd definitely say that from my side as well. I do try and follow other teams' beat writers and stuff just to keep an eye on the news and what's going on. And I have to say the Blue Jays do have a good amount out there, which is always nice to see. It's much easier to follow the team.
Yeah, I mean, you were saying about the Boston market being big, but you got to remember that Toronto is Canada's team, and that's a hell of a market.
Well, for now, they are.
Yeah.
we'll see. Time will tell.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, thank you all for joining us on this episode of Batflips and Nerds. I'd like to thank Mike for joining me. Where can they find you, Mike?
You can find me on Twitter. There's not much activity on my side, but you're welcome. At 99Zenon99.
Cool. And I've been your host, Tom Pringle, and you can find me on Twitter at Pedroia's Face. That's the second baseman for the Boston Red Sox. You can contact the show on Twitter at Batflips_Nerds, on Facebook, facebook.com/Batflips and Nerds. You'll also find details about our blog there. You can email us on tom@batflipsandnerds.com. And we've also got our brand new website, which is just batflipsandnerds.com. You can subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher. Just search for Batflips and Nerds. And please do give us a rating, as it makes it much easier for folk to find our podcast. I think we've just gone up to 10 five-star reviews now. So if we could bump that up, as I said on the last show that I did with Darius, as soon as we get to 50, we'll start dishing out prizes. Do tell your baseball friends about us. Doesn't matter if they aren't British. We do welcome all sorts. So once again, thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.